Good morning and welcome to this episode of the AdDrop Podcast. As we continue our spin through the world of college athletics, I am pleased to be joined by the Ohio Athletic Conference Commissioner, Sarah Odie. Commissioner, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. When did you know that athletics would be your path in life?
Oh gosh, it's a decision that I kind of have to remake every single day, especially in the current climate. But when I was finishing, I played Division III basketball at Washington and Lee University, and had a really positive experience. And as I was finishing my undergrad, I knew I wanted to be involved in sport in some way. I just didn't know exactly how I was going to make that happen, and honestly didn't have a great idea of all of the opportunities that were available in sport. So that's when I knew that sport was going to be part of my life and ideally part of my career. It just took me a little bit longer to figure out exactly what that was going to look like.
Now, it's probably been a couple of years since played full court. Could you step on the court right now and give us a couple of buckets if you had to?
If I stepped on the court right now, I'm certain I would pull a hamstring or roll an ankle or something like that.
Now, coming from such a prestigious university with high academic standards as Washington Lee, what was the transition like going from athlete to the working world?
Yeah, I mean, I think people talk about this like loss of identity, loss of athletic identity thing, and I certainly struggled a little bit with that. Having been an athlete my entire life, and being used to, especially in team sports, used to a coach telling you everything to do. I think I floundered a little bit just trying to figure out how to be an athlete on my own and stay fit and stay active. And so that part of the transition was difficult for me into the real world. The transition to the working world actually was pretty smooth. When I finished grad school, so I went straight from undergrad to grad school. So I prolonged that transition a little bit. And then when I finished grad school, had an opportunity to go back and work at one of the schools in the conference that I played in. And so a lot of familiar faces, a lot of people that were eager to help me make that transition and start the next phase of my career, and just kind of familiar landscape. So that certainly helped. And plus, I was around sports all day and helping one of our institutions put on events and support student athletes. And so that felt really familiar to me, and was able to, I sort of kept a toe in the athletic world while sort of simultaneously transitioning to a career.
It has been said a woman in the world of athletic administration has a more difficult path because of glass ceilings, the good old boys network. How have you managed to navigate that successfully?
Well, first of all, I feel incredibly grateful and privileged that there were women that came before me and sort of have lifted me up throughout my career. And so I am fortunate in that I have maybe not experienced directly some of the challenges that I think some of my peers, or certainly some of the women in the generation ahead of me, have faced. And that's credit to the people around me for just never letting me experience that. But as I've come into certain leadership roles, both at the NCAA and now here at the Ohio Athletic Conference, I've realized the importance of, even though my generation has it a little bit better than the generation before me, it's still not perfect, and I need to sort of help create a path for the women coming behind me. So I know that doesn't exactly answer your question. I feel really fortunate that I don't have to have an answer to that question, because I've been really lucky in my career to have doors open to me. I've never felt like a door was closed to me because of my gender. But I also, I'm a little bit of a workaholic, and I'm a perfectionist, and so it's in my personality to just make sure that I'm doing the very best job I can, and not give anyone any reason to question me.
Exactly. What advice would you give to your 18-year-old self about the life that she's about to lead?
I think And this transcends athletics specifically, but I think just don't sweat the small stuff. Being a perfectionist and wanting everything to go well all the time, I think I have a tendency to let small problems become big problems because I let them weigh on me pretty heavily, and that has at times taken joy out of other aspects of my life. And I've learned along the way that if you just give something a couple of days, a couple of weeks, most of the time you can see that things happen for a reason and make the best of them as opposed to dwelling on negatives.
Lesson that you learned as a basketball player was the easiest transferable to your role as commissioner.
So when I was a basketball player, I was a point guard, and granted, probably not a very good one. I like to joke that they gave me a uniform and a locker and let me come to practice, and that's about the extent of my contribution to Washington and Lee women's basketball, unfortunately. But I was a point guard, and so I took my role seriously of being a distributor, of finding ways to put other people in positions where they can be successful. And that's really similar to life as a commissioner. Most of the time it's my 10 schools that are making decisions for the future of the conference and the direction of the conference, but I'm the facilitator. I'm giving them the information that they need and putting them in the positions they should be in order to make the most effective decisions. And so that's how I transfer my time as a basketball player to really any leadership role. My approach to leadership is to put others in the position that they need to be in order to be most successful.
Being a perfectionist, have you ever sat back and looked at something you just accomplished and surprised yourself about how well it turned out?
Usually it takes me a little longer down the road, as I'm not going to look at something that happened yesterday and then have an overwhelmingly positive reaction just yet. But what I can see is that as I react to situations and deal with challenges that arise, and then weeks, months, years later, look back, I can see how those things developed me into the person that I am today. And I think that's always a positive. And I can see the ways the people around me have been able to be successful, and I'm always happy looking back on those experiences.
Break. I want to discuss the path in the OAC, kind of where you see the conference's present and future. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast. Terrence Biggs, Sarah Odie, the Commissioner of the Ohio Athletic Conference. Commissioner, two-part question. When you accepted the job with the OAC, what was the first thing you wanted to accomplish? And second, how'd you celebrate?
So the first thing I wanted to accomplish upon taking the job was really just listening and learning. The OAC has been around since 1902. The OAC predates the NCAA. And so there's a ton of relevant history and tradition in the conference. And it's a conference that I was coming into. I knew a little bit about the conference. I had worked with some of these schools when I was on staff at the NCAA, but I knew that I was the new person and had a lot to learn. So really, for the first 6 months of my time here at the conference office, I was making sure to get out on campuses, meet with presidents and athletic directors, learn from their experience in the conference, figure out the ways that the conference has been successful and can kind of continue to capitalize on the historical success and the traditions of the conference, but also where are areas that we might be able to evolve a little bit and change in a way that best supports our student athletes and kind of cements the future of the conference. So I know that's a little bit of a lame answer, but really my first 6 months was learning all of the things that I needed to learn and that I didn't know in order to then begin to make some small changes and some small adjustments so that the conference can evolve and remain relevant and competitive well into the future. One of the things that I think the presidents were excited about in learning about my background the connections that I had in Division III based on my time at the NCAA national office. So one of the things that was important to them that I then made important to me is elevating the profile and national visibility of the conference. The OAC is regularly, a top five conference competitively. If you look in sports standings across really any sport that we sponsor, we've got a school in the top 10, top 15 national rankings. And so there's not much I need to do in order to make the OAC more competitive. But we're unique in that we're all within the state of Ohio. And so it's sometimes hard to make sure that folks outside of the state of Ohio know how compelling and competitive the conference is. And so I think I see that as really one of the reasons that I'm here and an important part of my job. And what was the second part of your question, Terrence?
How to celebrate.
Oh, how'd I celebrate? By trying to buy a house in 2021, which was not an easy task to do. No, I'm just excited. So I was working in Division I primarily at the time when I took the OAC job, and I'm thrilled to be back in Division III. Division III is where I cut my teeth, both as a student athlete and an administrator. And I always knew that it's where my heart was and where I wanted to get back. And so celebrated with family and friends on an opportunity to be back in the Division III world.
When you look at the landscape of college sports, especially recently, it's ever changing and faster than I can remember it changing in years. How difficult is it to kind of long plan when you have a landscape that can change year to year or season to season?
Yeah, it's really tough. And it's one of the things that we've talked about with our president's council quite extensively. We last year were going to go through a strategic planning process and decided to change the way we conceptualized it, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to do a 3 or 5 year strategic plan in college athletics right now, because who knows what our landscape is going to look like in 3 to 5 years. So instead, we did some work focusing on what are our Ohio Athletic Conference mission, vision, values, what are the things that are important to us, and how are the ways that we want to broadly define the experience within the OAC, but didn't put specific planning steps toward it, because I do think that we're in athletics in a little bit of a wait and see environment with all of the changes going on. In Division I at the NCAA, but then also, I mean, there's a lot of talk about things relevant to NCAA sport at the federal level, congressional involvement and engagement that could change the course of our industry. So it's an exciting time, but it's a little bit of a nerve-wracking time as well, and it does make it hard to plan.
You could predict. I know it's difficult to. Do you think there'll be a period soon or soonish where you'll see a little bit of temporary stability as far as things may not change as quickly, or do you think it will continue with not so much moment to moment, but things changing ever so rapidly?
Yeah, I wish I could predict it. I don't know. I mean, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have thought things would have settled down by now. And with the way so much of this is playing out in the court system, and the number of appellate opportunities and how long some of those court cases take to finally wrap up, I think we're in this current environment for at least another couple of years. I do think that President Baker, the new NCAA president, is working hard at having Congress involved in meaningful ways. And if there are ways that we can set federal standards so that, because one of the challenges right now is that on so many of these issues, individual states are making individual state laws. So we're okay because all 10 of our schools are in the state of Ohio. So we're at least all subject to the same state laws. But most conferences cross state lines. And so you've got schools in the same conference playing by different sets of rules depending on the issue, name, image, likeness, some of those other things. So that's one of the challenges right now. And I think we're in that for a little while, at least until we find some meaningful resolution at the federal level. But I'm optimistic that we're moving the right direction. And you know, we need to evolve. Higher ed is prototypically slow to evolve. And I think we're seeing now that if the NCAA and college athletics had been more willing to be forward thinking 5, 10 years ago, we might not find ourselves in the position that we're in now. So hopefully we learn this lesson going forward and don't put ourselves back in a difficult position, you know, 10, 15 years down the road. But I think there's a solution out there somewhere. I don't know what it is. But this is such a unique enterprise and such a unique college experience that I hope that we'll find a way to continue to make it viable and valuable going forward.
When you look at the OAC and you look at the, like you said, every school is located within the state of Ohio, and that breeds such fierce but respectful competition at the athletic level. Also, it probably breeds the same on the academic level. About Division III, they are unflinching in their pursuit of making sure that academics is first. Athletics will always come after academics, but do you think that will continue the holding up the really strong academic standards throughout Division Three?
I hope so. You know, that's one of the things that has always drawn me to the division. I feel like Division III has the balance, the approach strikes the appropriate balance between not just academics, but an overall college experience for those student athletes, while still allowing student athletes to very competitively and very passionately pursue the sport that they care about. And, you know, if you watch some of the games in Division III across any sport, you realize like these are phenomenal athletes. They're not you know, this is not a poor athletics. It's really, really good sport and really competitive sport. It's just balanced by the overall higher educational experience. And so that's important to all 10 of our presidents. I know that remains top of mind for them. And they'll do everything they can to make sure that stays relevant and remains an important part of the Division III identity and experience. And I'm right there with them. I mean, I think that's why I like to work in Division III. That's why I feel like my future is primarily in Division III. And so, you know, we'll see.
When you're not in the office or handling conference business, how do you get away from the job?
I attempt to be a recreational athlete to some extent still. I run and do a little bit of triathlon, so that's kind of my outlet. That's how I clear my head. Work out every morning before work, and it helps me come into the day fresh. It also helps me, you know, have something in common with the student athletes that I strive to support. I can a little bit, on some small degree, understand their experience. And understand what they put into to pursue excellence. And then of course just time with family and friends. Those are the important things to me. And it's sometimes challenging in athletics because athletics is a lot of nights and weekends. But I've been able to, I think, find that balance between things that fill my cup, so that I've got a full cup to then work with when I go to work with my schools and support our student athletes.
One goal would you like to see the OAC accomplish in the next 5 years or so?
Oh man, I've got a lot of goals that I want to see us accomplish. The things that I think are next on our list are ensuring the financial health and stability of all of our institutions and our conference. And I know that sounds vague, and it probably is, but I just think the Division III schools are in a tough spot right now with the enrollment cliff. There just aren't enough 18-year-olds entering college in order to keep every single D3 school open. And that's a big concern for our schools. Most of our schools are healthy and are doing well. but want to make sure that they stay healthy and viable into the future. And so any way that the conference can promote our schools, promote enrollment and retention on behalf of our schools, is going to be positive. So that's creating an exceptional student athlete experience within the OAC at OAC championships, and then doing the best I can to financially support our institutions through corporate partnerships, sponsorships, anything that we can do to raise money at the conference level, to take a little bit of that burden off of our schools. These sports are important, and our presidents value what athletics bring to their campuses, but they're also expensive. And so finding ways to make sure that we can continue to support them at a meaningful level is top of mind for me.
People tend to not really understand that, like you said, sports are extremely expensive. With schools leaving or schools trying to restructure, even some schools merging with other schools, the financial landscape is, ooh, precarious.
Yeah.
Do you see just college sports, not just Division III, but Division II, Division I, there's going to be more of this? Do you think more of this will happen?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I think at least for the next, 5 to 7 years, schools are going to be in a tough spot, and are going to need to be creative on partnerships and creating overcoming enrollment obstacles and those types of things. And I think as long as we're in that landscape where we don't have as many 18-year-olds enrolling in college, we're going to see schools close, merge, and or go to the NA. We've seen some Division III schools that have transitioned to the NAIA. We've seen schools are making decisions that are in their best financial interest. But it does have an impact on the others around them. So my job is to keep the OAC whole, address any membership concerns that arise, and help the schools that are part of the OAC stay relevant and stay healthy.
Mr. of the Ohio Athletic Conference, Sir Odie Commissioner, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.